Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello and welcome to Engage for Success Radio with me, Jo Moffat. Today is show number 536, and our topic today is really quite an interesting one, and it's a topic that I personally haven't come across before, so I'm really looking forward to learning more about this. And it is developing spiritual intelligence and capabilities. So in a moment I'll be introducing our special guest. But first of all, by way of an introduction for those who aren't too familiar with who Engage for Success are, we are a not-for-profit movement. Engage for Success is the UK's leading voice on the topic of employee engagement and sets out to raise awareness by running events through area networks around the UK and topic and sector-specific thought and action groups, developing research, publishing case studies, and shining a light on great practice. And we do that through our website, which you can visit at engageforsuccess.org, where you can learn more and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And although we are a UK-based not-for-profit, our audience reach is global. We spread the word more broadly around the world about the importance of an engaged workforce and helping organisations to be inspired to create great workplaces where not only the organisation can thrive, the people that work there can thrive too. Do sign up for our newsletter at engagewithsuccess.org, where you'll also find a huge free resource of research, case studies, and most importantly, evidence as to why this stuff really, really matters. So I'm Jo Moffat. I'm one of the regular hosts of Engage with Success Radio, but as everyone who's involved with Engage with Success, they're all volunteers. We all support the movement through our time and energies, which means we all have day jobs as well. And mine is that I'm Managing Director and Founder of Woodread, which is a specialist agency where we help our clients create great places to work, high-performing cultures of engaged employees, so encompassing all things employee engagement, employee experience, and, of course, internal communication. So, to today's topic, developing spiritual intelligence and capabilities, and today's special guest, who I'm very pleased to welcome, is Yossi Amram, who is author of a book called Spiritually Intelligent Leadership, How to Inspire to Be Inspired. So Yossi is a PhD, he's a licensed clinical psychologist, and an executive coach who works for CEOs, entrepreneurs, and other influential leaders. Previously, he was a founder and CEO of two companies, has led those through successful IPOs, and has coached over 100 CEOs, many of whom themselves have built companies with thousands of employees and revenues up in the billions. So he knows what he's talking about. And is a pioneering researcher in the field of spiritual intelligence, and as I say, author of a book on the topic. So I'm very, very pleased to welcome you to the show, Yossi. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Jo. I'm excited to be here, and I'm delighted and want to support and so aligned with the mission of your nonprofit for engaged employees. It's so important in our world for people to have a sense of purpose and meaning and connection and community. And research by the international management consulting companies, Bain, which is one of the top consulting management companies, has discovered that employees that are inspired and engaged are twice as productive as those that are simply there doing their job. So I think this is so crucial for the performance of the organization and the happiness and motivation and sense of belonging and meaning and purpose for employees. So I'm delighted to hear of your nonprofit. And so
we're very pleased to have you with us and to look at this topic from an aspect and from an angle that I'm unfamiliar with. So I'm very much looking forward to learning all about the topic of spiritual intelligence. And I wonder whether we can therefore begin, Yossi, by understanding exactly what is spiritual intelligence. I think we're probably all all of us listening are familiar with the concept of emotional intelligence and how important that is to leadership and management of people. But what are you able to give us a nice definition of what spiritual intelligence is and perhaps how it compares or how it relates to emotional intelligence?
Sure. So you're not alone. I mean, spiritual intelligence is kind of a new construct, and most people have heard of emotional intelligence. So spiritual intelligence is very analogous. So briefly, as I understand and define emotional intelligence, the ability to draw on emotional resources and information to enhance our functioning and well-being, manage our own and other people's emotions. So by analogy, spiritual intelligence is the ability to draw on spiritual resources and embody spirit qualities that have been hailed by all the world's wisdom and spiritual traditions throughout the ages to enhance functioning and well-being. So you might say, what are these qualities? So these would be qualities like purpose and service and vision and gratitude and integrity and humility and higher self and presence and so on. So these are qualities that regardless of the tradition that one studies have been hailed as important virtues, whether you're Muslim or Christian or Jewish or Buddhist or Hindu. Through my research interviewing 71 leaders and in those traditions, these are common themes regardless of their theology and cosmology. Now the good news is that these very qualities in modern research of positive psychology has shown that qualities such as trust and service and gratitude and humility and service and beauty and joy and hope and optimism are all positively related to well-being and our effectiveness as leaders. So we have convergence here of the ancient traditions and modern science that's saying these very qualities enhance our well-being. My point of view, that's very exciting and powerful. And it's also very interesting that one need not be quote-unquote spiritual or religious to cultivate these qualities. Somebody could be a pure atheist, has no spiritual beliefs, they don't believe in higher power, have no interest in spirituality, but they could still practice and cultivate gratitude or humility or mindfulness or whatever you wish. And those qualities are accessible to anybody, regardless of their spiritual, religious orientation or lack thereof.
Okay. Tell me, Yossi, I'm listening to what you're describing there, then things like purpose, service, vision, humility, and so on. I hadn't really thought of those as spiritual things. But what you're describing to me, and the reason why then you call this spiritual intelligence, is because these are things that are present or have been present in the world's great religions for millennia, and they come from a spiritual place. They have become, in recent decades, they've become more lay person's terminology, but actually they have their roots in spirituality, and so that's why you kind of class them as spiritual intelligence. But what you're saying is you do not have to have a particular spiritual or religious orientation or affinity to practice them, clearly, because they have crossed over into the lay world. Have I understood that right?
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of seeing and understanding it. And indeed, qualities such as, I mentioned some, but qualities such as compassion and forgiveness and so on do have their roots in spiritual and wisdom traditions for millennia. And yes, nowadays we all understand, because modern psychology has discovered through research that these very qualities enhance our happiness and well-being and health. And so, you know, and there are other qualities such as trust, for example, and faith that support hope and optimism. But, you know, when we face challenges in our daily lives or suffering, it's that basic trust that we have in the benevolence of reality, that we live in a friendly world, if you will. Einstein said one of the most fundamental questions we face as humans, do we believe we live in a friendly universe? And when we have versus something that's just has no meaning, no purpose, it's all chaotic, comes out of random fluctuations in the quantum field or genetic mutations and then things lack meaning. So that's where at a deeper level, when we have that basic trust, then it manifests in these positive qualities of trust and so on, and gratitude and humility. And then we see the interconnectedness of everything, which when we understand that we are all part of one reality, then we are likely to experience greater connection and more respect and dignity, diversity of people, regardless of their race and skin color or religious orientation or sexual orientation or gender and so on. So, you know, I think the deeper you go, the more you understand that understanding our interconnectedness and our oneness and moving away from our egoic perception of the world. I think we need to face what I call a Copernican revolution. Up until Copernicus, you know, humanity believed that the Earth is the center of the world, the universe, and the sun revolves around it. That's how the world looks if you look at the sky during the day. The sun is moving. Now, Copernicus came and said, no, you know, it's actually the sun that is the center of our solar system. The Earth revolves around it, and the sun is what is where the Earth came out of and is fed. All energy and all life is sustained by the sun. Now, by analogy, when we look at the world, it looks like we're all separate entities, separate individuals, and that leads to a lot of loneliness and so on. But then if that's our egoic-centered identity of a separate individual, that's me, and I'm in a dog-eat-dog world competing for scarce resources against others. But when we have sort of our Copernican revolution, we understand our interconnectedness and that we're all born out of the same reality and sustained by that reality. And that shifts our whole orientation to, and so all these qualities of benevolence and compassion and dignity and respect to others naturally flow out of understanding. So I'm trying to explain why at a deeper level these principles naturally arose out of, a spiritual understanding of our interconnectedness.
Yes. Yeah, I'm interested, actually, in you've mentioned earlier the research that you've done in this field and the various people that you have talked to, many people that you've talked to help inform this, and the book that you've written, Spiritually Intelligent Leadership, How to Inspire to Be Inspired. And I want to kind of explore a little bit more around that, because when you were doing your research, were the people that you were speaking to conscious of this concept called spiritual intelligence, or were they describing these qualities that, as you have identified, actually stem from our innate sense of who we are and our basic spirit? Do you see what I mean? I'm curious to understand whether people knew that that's what they were practicing.
Most of them did not. I mean, the concept of spiritual intelligence was not coined by me. That phrase was actually coined by a woman called Dana Zohar, which I believe is based in the UK. But uh-huh. did not define exactly or operationalize what it means. And so what I set out on my research, because I was interested in it and how it relates to leadership, knowing how emotional intelligence relates to leadership. So I set out to research it, and I interviewed 71 spiritual teachers across all the world's traditions. So they were, you know, Muslim imams and Christian, you know, priests and Jewish rabbis and Buddhist monks and so on, and interviewed them how their spirituality showed up in their daily life. And these were people that were nominated by their peers as those that embodied their spirituality in daily life. And so these are the qualities that emerge as common across all of them. And then so that created a framework. And from there, I developed the first academically validated measure of spiritual intelligence, because if you're going to study something like in emotional intelligence, there are many measures, and there's the Baran measure and the Daniel Goleman measure and other measures that have been designed to be able to study so you could see the relationship between emotional intelligence or spiritual intelligence, whatever outcome. So then I developed this validated instrument that showed that spiritual intelligence indeed is associated with greater well-being. And then I studied attributes to leadership, working with 42 CEOs and 210 members of their staff, and found that spiritual intelligence contributed to their leadership. And I also controlled for emotional intelligence and personality to see, does it add anything above and beyond? And not
what
to get
did you
too
find, Josie?
Yeah, so emotional intelligence on its own explained about 41% of the variance in the leadership effectiveness. Spiritual intelligence explained 47% of the variance in leadership effectiveness, and combined they explained 67%. So they were complementary. There was small, moderate correlation between them, but they were different constructs. And since then, other researchers that have used that validated instrument found that leaders that have greater spiritual intelligence produce better financial results for their organizations. And there's been many other studies showing that it contributes to quality of life and productivity, both individually and organizationally, and relationship success and so on. So this is a new field that's just kind of growing in the last 15 or so years since the research that I've done. And it's now it's pretty broadly established that it's a real construct that has positive outcomes.
Right. And the 42 CEOs that you interviewed, and then you also interviewed the staff members within their organizations. What were the kinds of things you identified?
Well, it wasn't just interviews. They were assessed with these measures and of their emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, and personality. You know, personality is kind of like, are they extroverted, introverted, and so on. There's the five dimensions of personality. So they took these assessments, self-assessments, and then their staff rated them in a 360 way, looking at those same things, the leader's emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, personality. And then the staff rated them about their own experience. How committed is that person to the organization? How engaged are they? How identified are they? And we looked at turnover in their organization. And then we studied the correlation between the leader's spiritual intelligence, even their self-reported, and how engaged and committed and identified with the mission of the organization was the people under them. So, and that's where we found that leaders that scored higher in spiritual intelligence led teams that had greater commitment, greater morale, and lower turnover. I hope I'm making...
Oh, you are. You are indeed. And these are all the kinds of things that our listeners are very keen to hear, because it's about being able to demonstrate that correlation and to be able to see that if we do these things, if we behave in certain ways, then you can have an impact not just on well-being, but in terms of organisational success and positive outcomes for you. Bottom line of the shareholders and all the rest of it. But I'm guessing you can't fake this stuff, can you, Yossi?
You can't fake it. Well, you could try, but I think people are pretty perceptive, and one of the qualities of spiritual intelligence is integrity. And there's a lot of research that speaks to the importance of integrity in leadership, not even having anything to do with spiritual intelligence, whatever. I mean, people want to trust their leaders and the people they work with. And if you don't sense that the person you're working with wants the talk, as they say, and is aligned, it breeds cynicism and it demotivates people and becomes a toxic organization. So integrity is super important. And we all sense when someone is genuine and earnest and so on. And so to cultivate that trust, for example, now there's research published at Harvard Business Review and elsewhere, the trust is super important for the effectiveness of the organization, and it, releases oxytocin at the hormonal level, and that builds connection and bonding and team building and humans, and the behaviors that facilitate that trust involve, being reliable, being authentic, talk, and being vulnerable. Something that's hard for many leaders is to be vulnerable. Is this model that if I'm the leader, I know it all and I don't make mistakes. Yeah. It's a command and control model. But, if we want our employees to be vulnerable and learn, then we see mistakes as an opportunity for learning, and then vulnerability, that trust. So,
Thinking
it's counterproductive. I think it goes against the whole spirit and philosophy of what spiritual intelligence is, and I think it backfires because it breeds cynicism.
I'm glad you mentioned the word authentic, because I think that's one of those words, one of those concepts and constructs that become increasingly to the fore, actually post-COVID and pandemic and lockdowns and people having to work from home and all that kind of thing, and the importance of leadership being seen to be authentic and human and not hiding behind corporateness and corporate language and so on. So I was going to ask you if authenticity is a... if you would put authenticity into the spiritual intelligence camp, and I'm guessing you would, given what you've just been saying.
Yeah, I mean, it relates to integrity, and it relates to one of the other dimensions of spiritual intelligent leadership, which is truth, being truth and reality oriented rather than ego oriented. So when and authenticity means alignment through and through, inward and outward. So if I'm not aligned within myself and my essence and my highest aspiration and my heart and my mind and my actions, then I feel divided. And when I'm divided, it's like I'm not going to be in my greatest power. So, authenticity is not just a nice to have. When we're authentic and we're connected and we're rooted to our deepest spirit essence, our soul, you might say, or however you want to define it, and then our words and our actions are aligned, then all of us are basically rowing in the same direction within ourselves. Otherwise, one part of me wants to go this way, another part of me wants to go that way, and then I'm divided and I'm fractured, and that undermines my power and effectiveness at the personal level and certainly in the team level. If people are not aligned, then, you know, people are rowing in different directions. It's just going to be chaotic, not give the best results.
Yeah, yeah. Can I? We've got 5 minutes left, Yoki, and I would just like to move on to a couple of things, really. First of all, so we've been listening to what you've been saying. We've been hearing the correlation between emotional intelligence and its impact on organizational success and all of these things, and then you've looked equally at spiritual intelligence and its impact. But when both of those constructs are present, there's a greater impact in terms of the organization. So let's say I'm hearing about all of this stuff for the first time, and I quite like the sound of this, and I want to develop a greater awareness and demonstration of a practical application of spiritual intelligence. But I've been listening to what you said, and I know I can't fake it. So what do I do? How does a listener who's hearing what you're saying start to develop and cultivate their own spiritual intelligence and bring that to bear in the workplace?
Okay, great. Well, I think, you know, just going back to the word spiritual, spirit, the root word comes from the Latin spiritus, which is the animating life force. So the first thing is, you know, our spiritual intelligence comes from connection to our life force, our spirit. And how can we experience our life force spirit in our body, in our lived experience? First and foremost, is connecting to our breath. And secondly, it's connecting to our heartbeat. And so that puts us in touch with our aliveness, and then we can feel our sense of aliveness, our power, feel our feet on the ground and support of Mother Earth. That gets us grounded, rooted, and in our power. So that's kind of the first, you know, opening, which is part of many meditative traditions, to connect the breath, connect our body, to sense our connection to ground that gives us stability and strength. The other thing is to connect to the deepest aspiration, the deepest longing of our heart and our highest aspiration. And that essentially comes from our spirit essence, our soul. And then when we connect, touch into that highest intention and trace it back to its source, then we come in touch with our essence. And from there, a lot of these qualities could start to develop. But spiritual intelligence is not cognitive intelligence. It's not just you hear about it and you learn about it. You have to cultivate these qualities, like gratitude. You know, there are lots of practice. You could do a gratitude practice first thing upon waking up. You do a gratitude journal upon going to sleep. So it's a lifelong journey. It's not like, oh, you know, I heard this talk by Yossi and it sounds great, and I'm not going to be spiritually intelligent. I mean, one good place to start is
to read
my book.
I just wanted to clarify, do people need to be helped on this kind of a journey?
Well, I think getting support is always helpful, either with a coach or with a therapist or a spiritual teacher or a spiritual companion, or a community of people. I mean, the Thich Nhat Hanh said the Sangha is the new Buddha. You know, we need support. We're social animals. You know, people in Weight Watchers go in community, people in recovery from alcohol, Alcoholics Anonymous. Whenever we want to work on something, it's nice to have support and people that hold us accountable, give us mirroring, coach us, help us. So I would definitely recommend getting support, and it could be in many forms.
Right. And a useful start point, having listened to today's show, would probably, I'm sure, be to get hold of a copy of your Spiritually Intelligent Leadership, How to Inspire by Being Inspired book. That, with that, I'm afraid, I'm going to have to round off today's show because we've run completely out of time. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. But especially thank you to my special guest today, Yossi Amram. And thank you for introducing us to the concept of spiritual intelligence. Thank you for listening to Engage with Success Radio. And don't forget, you can download or stream any of the great shows from our archive at any time. Just visit engagewithsuccess.org. And if you want to get involved in the movement, please get in touch with us there as well. So thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.